Hey, Danny. Hello?
Hi. Sorry, I'm looking over. Why do it look like I have a Tanakh share in progress? Screen. Yeah.
Danny, can you hear me?
I can hear you. There we go. And let's go over here.
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me? I'm gonna go back to Rabbi Foreman. Right, we have this wonderful book here. Thank you. And I just thought it was interesting this week. Let me go back to my share screen. Because he looks at Rivka's role in the giving the bracha, right? Yaakov, we know, steals the bracha from Esav, and we all know the story. And it's just trying to figure out what Rivka's doing in here. So look at the Pesukim. Rivka shomat b'dvar Yitzchak el Esav b'no. So Rivka hears Yitzchak telling Esav. Yitzchak tells Esav, go hunting for me, prepare for me matamim, delicious things, and so I can bless you before I die. So Rivka overhears this. Esav goes to hunt for game. He's going to bring to his father. Rivka Amra al Yaakov ben Alemar. So Rivka goes to Yaakov, her son. And the interesting thing, obviously, it's Esav beno of Yitzchak, and Yaakov is bena hers. We know they had favorites. I heard your father. I heard your father speaking to Esav, your brother, saying, "Go bring me game, and make me delicious things, and I will eat it. And I will bless you for God before I die." But so now Rivka says to Yaakov, now, my son, go listen to my voice, to what I'm going to command you. Go now to the sheep, and get for me two kids, tovim, good ones. Okay? And I'm going to make them delicious delicacies like your father loves. And you'll bring them to your father, and he'll eat them. So he should bless you before he dies. Response to Yitzchak telling Esav, and then we know he does that, and he gets the bracha, and Esav comes, and Yitzchak is just horrified. And then Esav decides he's going to kill Yaakov. He's stolen his bracha. And then afterwards, Rivka tells Yaakov. I mean, she throws him under the bus. What does she say? And Rivka was told about what Esav had said, what he was thinking. But Yishlachti kol Yaakov ben Akatan, and so she sends for Yaakov, her little son. Right now, they're both her children. Look, Esav, your brother has changed his mind about you. He's going to kill you. That's bad.
Weren't they twins?
Yes.
So how can you say the little brother?
He was younger. And that
For
kind of
what, 5 minutes?
was who he was. I mean, that was from day one. Esav comes out and he's all finished, and Yaakov's holding onto the heel. That kind of Yaakov's always a little brother. And yes, they were
Okay.
twins, but they're whatever, 5 minutes apart.
What?
Based on talking to twins, they still know that.
How can they be 5 years apart?
I don't know how far apart they were.
They're probably a few minutes apart.
You can go for a while, however far apart it was. Esav clearly was born first, and he knew it. He was the Bechor. Right?
Okay.
Yaakov has to buy the Bechorah from him, right? Clearly, that was the sense that Esav was the older. However, by however many minutes it was. Again, if you talk to twins, that's a thing, right? No, they know who's the older one.
Listen, I'm a twin, but I'm 5 minutes older.
Are you a twin?
I wouldn't call him the older sister.
I don't know, well, that's called, as Mickey, I will have to ask Mickey who gets to, you know, whether he's the little brother or not.
Okay.
At any rate, clearly, at least in this relationship, Esav was the big, was the older, Yaakov was the younger one, even though they're exactly the same age. So, but now my son, Shema B'Koli, right? Just like you said before, Ata B'ni Shema B'Koli, right? That worked out great. So now my son, listen to me now. What am I going to tell you? Kum brachacha Lavan achi, go run away to my brother Lavan. Haran, into Haran, which you know is a great idea also. That'll work out wonderfully. V'yashavti imo yamim b'dachim. You should live with him for yamim, usually is years. Okay? And in the plural, a couple of years. Asher teshuv chamat achicha, until your brother's anger abates. Ad shov af achicha, until his anger comes back. Mimcha from you, v'shachach et asher asita lo. And he forgets what you did to him. V'shalachti l'kachticha misham. And I'll send for you, bring you back. Why should I lose both of you on the same day? This will not end. He's going to kill you. But she says that as v'shachach et asher asita lo. So that we're going to do until he forgets what you did to him. What do you mean what you did to him? Rivka is the one who told Yaakov to do all of this. Actually, now we just kind of say, well, Yaakov, you did all this stuff, but I'm going to try to save you now. What's going on with Rivka? That's Rabbi Forman. He basically introduces his essay in the sense of he's going to be Rivka's lawyer, her defense lawyer. Then go back. What's the nature of the bracha that Yitzchak intended to give Esav? What does he give? Right, he comes, this person who comes before him, who's brought these delicacies to eat, who says he's Esav, and he tells him, may God give you from the dew of the heavens, mishamnei arts, from the fat of the land, the rov dagan b'tirosh, and the fat of wheat and wine.
Oh, wine.
Grape juice. Yaduch amim, the nations will serve you, shachavu l'chalu mim, and nations will bow down to you. Hebe gevir l'achecha, you will be the leader of your brothers, yishachavu l'cha v'nei imecha, and all your brothers will bow down to you. Arucha or mabaracha baruch, those who curse you will be cursed, those who bless you will be blessed. That's the bracha that Esav was supposed to get. That's the bracha that Yitzchak was going to give to his son Esav, that Yaakov is the one who's actually standing in front of him when he gets it. And at the end of the parsha, realize that there's a bracha that he gives to Yaakov. When he knows it's Yaakov, he tells him, okay, you need to go to Haran because I want you to get to marry someone there. Don't marry anyone from Canaan. And here's the bracha. And this is the bracha that he intends to give to Yaakov. Kel Shakai, Yivarech Rechavi, Yivarechavi, Yivarecha. May God bless you and make you fruitful, multiply. Vita Kalamim, and you will be a community of nations. Yitain Lecha, same Yitain Lecha, give you. But what are you going to give you? Not Tal Shemayin Shemaya Aretz, but Birkat Abraham. The bracha of Abraham goes to you. Lecha Ozeracha, Yitach, you and your children. Yerishtachat, Eretz Mugrecha, you will inherit the land. Shenatan Elokim, Abraham that Hashem has given you. We're talking about that was Yitzchak's vision. In this way of reading it, that he really had Esav and Yaakov were both supposed to get brachot, but both of them were supposed to be part of the future nation called Bnei Israel, but obviously wasn't called Israel, called this Memlecha Kohanim, that they were supposed to bring, with Yaakov being the spiritual side, living in Eretz Canaan, the bracha of Abraham, and Esav the material supporter. Esav would have the money, and he would support Yaakov, who's going to be sitting learning in Kolel all day. That was Yitzchak's vision, as it were. Rivka, on the other hand, said, no, Esav doesn't qualify. We can't let Esav be part of that. He cannot be part of this future nation that is the destiny of the people. That Yaakov has to fulfill both roles, the physical side, the material side, and the spiritual side. Why does Rivka say that? Because she got a nevuah, beginning of the parsha. What's interesting is that nevuah could be read both ways as well. We've talked about that before. That the nevuah that Rivka gets about these twins that she's pregnant with says, "V'yomar Shemla," God says to her, "Shnei goyim bevitnech." There are two nations in your belly. "Shnei lumim me'ayichi paredu," and two nations will come out of your womb. "Ulomet mil omiyematz," and usually translated as, "The might will pass from one regime to the other." Rabbi Avot Seir, the elder shall serve the younger. Okay, that one will dominate and the younger one, right, that's Yaakov, is going to be the one who will be in charge. We can read it another way. The mem of mil'om doesn't necessarily mean more than. One will be more powerful than the other. What can mean from? One nation will draw power from the other, will draw strength. They will draw strength from each other. Okay, they are supposed to work together. And we'll see that in the middle of the parsha when he goes to Abimelech. And Abimelech tells Mayomer, Abimelech el Yitzchak, lech miman. Abimelech tells Yitzchak, you need to leave. Right? You've made all this money. Ki asamtim imen ma'od. Not that you are much stronger than us, but you have gained much. You gained all the strength from us. You've taken this from us. Means from. That's the Malvin. Sir Lamar, Ayadena Atsamta. You become wealthy because of us. And people are jealous. You've taken all this profit that belongs to us. So read La'om Milomimat says that one draws strength from the other. And similarly, Rav Yavod Seir is ambiguous. Who's going to be in charge? There's no et there. Rav Yavod et Hatseir. Not clear which one is the subject of the, what's the object? That's the Emek Dever. Amar Hashem Lashon, the Mishtameh Betray Ape. Hashem is the words here. That's often true of Nebuot, or it can be understood in two different ways. Betray Ape. Yilu Amar Behechlesh HaRav Yiyah Aved LaHatzair. They've said explicitly that the older will be the servant of the younger. Hayah Omer B'Rav Yavod Litzair. The older will serve the younger. Or is it the other way? That the older will use the younger. The older will be in charge. So now it's ambiguous. It could be read either way. This is the Nevuah. About one will serve the other one. That will change. That depends. So my understanding, I would assume, though admittedly, a lot of people read it differently. Rabbi Sachs specifically talks about the lack of communication. I'm going to assume that Rivkin and Yitzchak discussed this Nebuah. They knew about it, right? Both they knew about it and they disagreed about how they're going to raise these children and what their destiny was going to be. We have the Nebuah, this future for Bnei Israel. I can quote.
Danny, can we go back for a minute to that phrase,
Lech mi'imanu, this one here?
Mimenu ma'od. Is that the same syntax of Paro saying the Hebrews had to get out because they were, or they had to be enslaved because they,
Inei b'nei Yisrael, rav v'atsum mimenu. Yes, they do. That's the same expression.
Okay, because there it's not they got strong from us. It's they're stronger than us.
Well, you could read it the other way. You could certainly read it as, hey, b'nei Yisrael, rav v'atsum mimenu, right? That's why we're going to slave them, because they have taken everything that we should, right? They have used us, right? Classic anti-Semitism. I mean, you can certainly read it that way.
I guess so.
Yeah, Leah. We try to say something, but you're completely silent. Your lips are moving, but I can't hear you. You can type it out to the chat. No, okay, we're gonna go on. We're gonna sign. We need somebody who can sign here. I don't know why I can't hear you, Leah. Hi, Leah. But
do you think there's a shot there in that mimenu being stronger than us, or you think it could be either way?
I think Nevuahs are hard to make happen.
No, what Avimelech is saying.
I like the interpretation, just like by Paro, because that is because it, why is he kicking him out? Just because he's stronger than us, because you've gotten all this money.
From us. So the mem is from. Okay.
I think that has, again, it goes with Paro also. Abimelech kicking him out because he's saying that you got rich off of us. Right? You're stealing everything that belongs to us. Consistent with all of known Jewish history, that kind of response. So I like it there as a Peshat. That's the Malvim. Again, it's not nobody who's saying that. clearly not the way everyone reads the nevuah about for Rivka, but I think it's one way of reading it. So I would argue that Yitzchak read it that way. That omil omi amat, that the one will become strong from the other one, as being a good thing to work together. And Rivka say no, it's one of them, not the other. I think that's been an issue here. So Rivka is going behind his back right now to fool him and to fool Yitzchak. That's the way it seems to be. Right? Yitzchak wants to enact his plan. He's going to give the bracha of Tal Shamayim, Mishamnei Aretz to Esav. And Rivka says, no, we need to make sure Yaakov gets it. The right foreman says, maybe she's not trying to fool Yitzchak at all. He's like a teacher of his from Neri Yisrael. I don't know who Simcha Cook is. He cites this idea that we read her instructions again. She tells Yaakov, Lech na latzon, go to the sheep. V'kachli misham shnei gedi izim tovim, take me two good kids. V'aset otam atamim l'avicha, and I'll make them delicacies to your father, k'asher hei, the way he loves them. V'vital l'avicha v'achal, and you should bring to your father, he'll eat them. V'avor sher divarecha v'tnei moto, so that he should bless you before he dies. There's nothing there about pretending to be Esav. Nothing. There's no fool your father. He's not going to know that you're Yaakov. She's telling him that, look, Esav's going to get a bracha. You need to get a bracha also, right? Here's what your father wants to do to get a bracha from Esav. Do the same thing. There's no fooling anywhere.
Except she's doing the cooking.
That becomes the irony of what, because that becomes the key point.
Oh.
That's a good point. There's clearly a difference there. Because this is the way that Rabbi Forum puts it, that Esav is an asui, he's a doer. He gets things done, right? That's why he's appropriate for the role that Yitzchak wants to give him, right? Yaakov is the ish tam yoshev olim. That's my favorite pasuk in the parsha. I've said that before, right? The Esav ish tzadeh, Yudet Tzai Yisadev, Yaakov ish tam yoshev olim, that Esav is a man outstanding in his field, and Yaakov is intense. Okay. Anyway, but here's the way he puts it. Recall, after all, what Yitzchak asked of Esav before a blessing: go hunt me some game and prepare a delicacy just the way I like it. Esav is jack of all trades. He can hunt, he can prepare the meat, he can cook it, make it into delicacies. He can present the food with grace and flair. He is quite literally a doer, just as his name suggests, right? Esav doesn't have to go to his mother to get him to make the food there. So Rivka is proposing that Yaakov present himself as a doer as well, that he is capable of managing the material side just as well as Esav is for this incipient nation that they're trying to form over here. And the irony, of course, is that it isn't true. That's a deception part, is that Rivka, Yaakov isn't going to do anything. His mother is going to prepare the food and do everything and dress him up and tell him, go. But it's not, you know, that's the deceit isn't you should need to be Esav. It's a very much more subtle kind of deceit of you need to act like Esav. You need to show that you can do something. And Yaakov doesn't want to do it at all. Right? And his mother's doing everything for him. Because Yaakov realizes that this is a deception. I mean, it's not the horrible, I'm going to fool my father into thinking that I am his other son. I'm Esav. It's, I'm trying to present myself as someone who can do all these things, but I'm not. But you're my COVID Rivka of emails. So this is what Yaakov says to his mother. Hein Esav, achi ish se'ar. My brother Esav is hairy, but anochi ish halak, and I'm all smooth-skinned. Why does that matter? That's what he said. Ulayu mishenavi. Maybe my father will feel me, but iti be'enav kim metateya. And I will appear like a deceiver. That's very weak. Not I am going to, he'll call me this actual deceiver, but it'll look like that. And then they'll be cursed, not blessed. The way Rabbi Forum puts it is that, you know, that Yaakov is saying, this is what Yitzchak is going to say. He's going to find, he goes to Yitzchak with his food, and Yitzchak's going to say, you show up once, bring me food, and you expect me to think all of a sudden you've changed? All of a sudden you're a doer? Look at those hands of yours, son. Smooth, from never having done a day of hard labor. That's what chalak means. No blisters from arrows or hoe, no scars from a spear or sickle. Your hands show who you really are. Why bother to pretend otherwise? So that's why he's afraid he's going to be kimetate, like a deceiver. He's not really tricking anybody, but he's going to seem inauthentic. He's going to present, look, Abba, I can do these things too. Trust me, I'll be able to do this. And he's saying himself, no, I'm not good. There's no deception of being Esav. We can't pull it off. So Rivka says here, no, you wear Esav's clothes. And we're gonna put the goat skin on you. You'll be hairy. And he's saying, not to fool Yitzchak, to fool Yaakov. That's what to give Yaakov the confidence to act. Okay, we're gonna let you play the part, okay? Because I need you to go do this. You're gonna have to, I know you're smooth skinned. You're not a doer, you're a nice yeshiva bachur, you're listening all that. But you need to at least the confidence to be able to do this in the future. So that's important. The clothes that Rebecca asked Jacob to wear aren't meant to be instruments to deceive his father. They're just another bit of motherly scaffolding to help Yaakov approach his father in a frame of mind that won't be self-defeating. Even if the clothes don't express who he is now, perhaps this is his mother's way of telling him that she believes he can get there, that this is something he can grow into. I don't want to fool Yitzchak. But it goes terribly wrong.
A little far-fetched that she didn't mean him to wear the hairy skin so that if Yitzchak feels him, she'll think it's him.
It is far-fetched,
maybe he'll feel me.
Right.
And he says, don't worry, wear the hair, wear the skin.
I agree. You have to push a little bit. It's a way of justifying Rivka, but it does work in terms of what she says, because she never actually says, you need to pretend to be Esau. It never comes up.
All right.
So, I mean, it's interesting. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm going to absolutely read it this way. But that's when he comes. Because clearly he does pretend to be Esav. So he comes to his father and says, Father, Hineni. The father says, I'm here. Miata bini, who are you? Right? Yitzchak is blind. Presumably they were twins, similar enough, they sounded enough the same that Yitzchak couldn't really tell. So Yaakov tells his father, Anochi Esav b'chorecha. I am Esav, your firstborn. Okay, that's as much as a lie you can find, right? Asiti kasher dibarte lie. I did what you told me. Kumna shiva, go and sit. Get up and sit. Va'ochela, va'ochla mitzedi, and come sit at the table so you can eat my game. Bavor tibarchai nafshecha, so you should bless me. Right? That seems like an outright lie. That's Yaakov. He's the exemplar of Emes, right? That's what we say. Emes Yaakov. How can he do this? So Rashi reads this famously in a very, I'll call it far-fetched. Anochi Esav b'cherecha. He means it's Anochi. Anochi amivilecha. Esav b'cherecha. Esav hu b'cherecha. He paused between Anochi and Esav b'cherecha, so he wasn't saying anything. It's me. And oh, by the way, Esav is your firstborn. So he's not lying, which doesn't help, because saying something that you can interpret as being true, but actually at the intent of deceiving somebody, is still lying. Okay, it doesn't change the deciding problem.
That's what you call a stretch.
That is a stretch. So Rabbi Foreman says, no, you're reading it wrong. It's not, he wasn't trying to lie to Yitzchak. It was Yaakov's own internal struggle in this way of saying it. He's not sure who he is, or he is who he's supposed to be. And it comes out wrong. Okay, so he's saying, so Jacob looks at himself. The only thing, certain things he sees about this man standing before Isaac, are these clothes he's wearing. Suddenly the clothes engulf the man wearing them, and in spite of himself, all he can say to his father is, I am Esav, your firstborn. The clothes define me now, because right now, I don't know what else does. That reflect that he was reading the Anochi and the Esav, you know, he is in fact lying, but it's not out of a sense of I wanted to see, but I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do now. It's this uncertainty. And then Yitzchak says, oh, okay, well, why don't you come here? And then Yaakov's trapped. Now it builds on itself, right? Everything unfolds inexorably. Yaakov is not going to go back. And now he's now lied to his father. He gets this bracha and then walks away. And then Esav comes in and screams, don't you have anything left for me? And so Rivka is saying, and Asher Sita lo. Rivka is saying that what went wrong was what you did. We could have done this right, but Yaakov, this actually turned out very badly. Instead of presenting yourself as someone who can be both the Esav and the Yaakov of this relationship, you've now presented yourself as a Yaakov, as a fooler, as a deceiver. This is Yaakov's fault.
So in this story, Esav never knows that Rivka was some way part of it.
That's true. And it never seems apparent that he does. And throughout, even, you know, however you read the text.
However you read it, right.
Yeah, nowhere appears that Esav has anything against Rivka's mother. Right? And that's the idea that what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Okay? He starts out with this Anochi, Esav Bechorecha, and then everything goes up from there because it builds on itself and you end up more and more lies. And that's nice. And that the story as it is addresses a lot of the moral issues there. That Rivka's innocent. She's trying. Yaakov isn't lying. He makes a mistake. And that's it. And the Torah doesn't try from describing things that the Avot, that their level did wrong. This was a problem. And then the fact is that if you follow the story as it goes through next through Parshiot, and Rabbi Foreman does that, that we have this Mida Keneged Mida, that Yaakov deals with the consequences of having made this mistake. Okay, first it happened with Lava, that we have the older and being fooling him in the place of the younger one, and he explicitly says, that's not what we do here, that the woman says. You bring the youngest before the younger before the older. I mean, it's very clear in the context that Lavan is making a snide comment about, okay, I still can't hear you, Leah, but yeah, there's the little snide comment about Yaakov taking the tzi'irah before the tzair before the bachor, right? This whole bachor is thing. I mean, clearly Lavan's referring to that. And so we end up with these two wives. We end up with all these conflicts between the children of B'nai Leah, B'nai Rachel. Everything from here is a consequence of what Yaakov does wrong. So it seems like from the point of the text that Hashem is looking at the consequences of Yaakov's reactions and is punishing Yaakov, or the natural consequences of the actions are negative, these actions is negative, which is fine. But there's a problem that Rabbi Foreman doesn't address, that I'm going to add my own twist on that. It's because Hashem seems to approve of the deception. You think about what actually happens, right? He goes to his father and he's wearing goat skin. And somehow he's fooling his father, who's blind, presumably he has a decent sense of feeling, but somehow he says, oh, that must be my hairy son. Right, and the Midrash says it was a miracle that it merged into his skin and now actually felt that way. But there's got to be, you know, you have to read this as one of these unbelievable coincidences within the text there. And there's divine intervention at work here to say, yes, this is right. The bracha needs to go to this person who's standing in front of you right now. Hints at it, but really says it. So what happens when Yaakov comes to his father? Vayigash, Yaakov comes close, Vayishak lo, and he kisses him. This is before COVID, so you could do that. But Reach Begadav, and Yitzchak smells the clothing, and he blesses Yaakov, who he thinks is Esav. But Yomer, he says, Reach Beni, look, the smell of my son, Reach Zedeh, like the smell of a field that Shebercho Hashem, the smell that of a field that has been blessed by God. And as the Medrash says it, B'shash Nichnas Avino Yaakov Etzel Aviv, as soon as Yaakov came in, Nitzasa imo Gan Eden. The smell was of Gan Eden. Now this Sadeh Asher Berachu Hashem means something very special to Yitzchak. You have to remember that Yitzchak, unlike Abraham before, unlike Yaakov afterwards, Yitzchak was a farmer. He wasn't a herdsman. He planted, right? And that was a bracha in the time of it. Remember when Abimelech says, you made all this money off of us? That's because of his fields. That Yitzchak planted it in that land, and he found it, and he grew in that year, 100 times. But 100 times what was expected, by Hashem, and Hashem blessed him. That's the bracha of Hashem to Yitzchak is in the Sadeh. So when he says to his my son, you smell like the bracha Sadeh Shebracha Hashem, that you clearly represent the bracha of Hashem. I need to give you this bracha. And similarly, that when he eats of these matamim, he has a sense of these are blessed matamim. This food is blessed. When he tells Esav afterwards what happened. Yitzchak was terrified, really terrified. Yora mi epo, then who then? Who had said Said? Who brought all me all this game? Brought it to me. Mikol, and I ate mikol, everything. And we quote that in benching. Rikar Mazon, we talk about bakol mikol kol.
Yeah.
Right, because the brach of Abraham was Vayrechet Abraham bakol. The brach of Yitzchak is right here. Achal mikol. And Yaakov is Vayeshli kol. He says the same thing. That was the everything. I ate mikol, everything. I beterem tavo before you came. And I blessed him. The Gam Baruch Yeh. And he's going to be blessed. And the Bachol Mikol. The Midrash on that. I ate everything. I ate everything I can imagine. Yehuda Omer Mikol Shev Nivra B'Sheshim Mein Bereshit. I had a taste of everything that had been created. Omer Mikol Tuv Shu Medukan Lati Lavo. Every good for the future. This was it. That Kli Hashem is saying that this person here is blessed. And so he says, Gam Baruch Yeh. Tell it to Esav. You know, that brach that I gave to him, it counted. It was real. So Hashem clearly says, no, this is the one who's supposed to get the bracha. So now my problem is then, if what we're saying is right, why is Yaakov being rewarded for his deception? And we said, he's not being rewarded because things go very badly because of that deception. So it's very inconsistent. In terms of having what happens here, why is Yitzchak get the message, give this person a bracha, when clearly that's not a right thing? So I don't have an answer, but I'm gonna have a suggestion. Yeah.
What about the fact that Yitzchak doesn't have any blessing for Esav?
Well, he does. Look at the text. He gives Esav a bracha. One thing he doesn't give him is the gvirut, that you are going to serve, you're still going to serve your brother. The other material side, you'll get.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, Phyllis, you're muted. Phyllis, you're muted.
I think the big thing he doesn't give him is the Avraham blessing.
But that was never there.
He gives it to Yaakov.
Yeah, right. But Esav was never going to get the Abraham blessing.
Well, that's true.
That's the point of my understanding of this as this Yisachar Zvulun relationship. That Esav, like the bracha for Esav was just...
Right. The bracha he just... Maybe he knew all along, and that's why he waits. And he knew this was Yaakov. And Yaakov has to get the Abraham bracha.
Right. So he doesn't give, right? I'm saying the other way around. He thinks this is Esav, so he's not giving the person in front of him the
Abraham. Oh, wait, he that for thinks later. It's Esav.
He thinks it's Esav, so he gives him the Tala Shamayim Shamnei Haaretz bracha.
Okay.
The planning on the Abraham bracha is going to Yaakov. That comes later in the Parsha.
Is there any way to read this that he knew? No.
I don't think because he has any. Because when he comes in, it's by Yecharad Charadag Gedolah, when he realizes what happened. Mie Fo had said Said. Like, who is
this? Yeah.
He seems to be horrified about what happened.
Right.
But, Gam Baruch Yeh. And clearly, this bracha that I'm a Navi and I have a sense of who deserves a bracha, but clearly this bracha that should have been yours, God is telling me it doesn't belong to you. So my suggestion is, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. For those who remember the Tanakh Shir, remember this in detail. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, La'olam al yad yavi adam atzmo l'dei nisayon. Person should never try to be tested. Tarei David Melech Yisrael, Havi atzmo l'dei nisayon. But David asked to be tried to get himself tested v'nechshal, and he stumbled. This is talking about David Batsheva. Amar Lefana, this is the way the Gemara reconstructs the story as it were. David told Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, v'nei ma omrim elkei Abraham, elkei Yitzchak, elkei Yaakov. Why is it that when we daven, we say, Why don't we say it Kelly David? Okay? And I'm not getting into what that means in the context of David here, but truly saying that, you know what, I want to be one of those avot. Why can't I do that? Right? That my relationship with Hashem is the relationship of Kelly Yisrael. Amar, so Hashem says, in whom min suli, they were tested before me, but atlo min istli, but you were never tested. Amar lefanav, so David says, b'chanan even nisani. That's a pasuk from Tehillim. So please test me. As it says in the pasuk Tehillim, b'chanani Hashem v'nisani. That's one of the Tehillim, please test me. So I will deserve that, they will say, okay, David. Amar, so Hashem says, min salah. Okay, I'll test you. Babina milta b'hadach. And I will do you a favor. Because the avot, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, were never told what their test was. They were presented with situations that in retrospect will clearly were tests. But I'm going to tell you what your test is going to be. Yulu Anna, but for me, come Madana Lach, I will now tell you the Messiah Lach B'Devar Erva. You're going to have a problem with Erva, with a matter of sexual impropriety. And that's what happened. That David gets up, he's on the roof, and your faith, okay, that's Leonard Cohen's, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. I don't know if he knew this Gemara explicitly, but clearly that's what the verse is referring to. He wanted to prove to himself that he could do this, and he failed. The whole story there, you can look at the Tanakh Shir on the website, it's called This Will Be on the Final. You want to look at discussion there in terms of David. But right here, the idea that all the avot were tested. What does that mean?
Danny.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is before this whole thing with Batsheva, the test, he had issues with it before with Abigail. He was tempted. And there was another one.
Yeah, so Abigail, that's why we read Abigail as a Nevuah, basically, foreshadowing Batsheva.
Oh.
Right. She pretty explicitly, you know, in the eye of the Gemara, she says, don't sin with me. And, you know, reading her as a Navi, she's saying, this will happen again. So you need to do this right.
Yeah.
The other one probably is Avshalom's mother, who's a. We've talked about that in the sense of a Eshivat Tovar.
Okay, yeah.
Which also comes to haunt him as well. Yes, so that's part of the idea of that you know, when was he asked? Well, he knows what's coming in the sense of the Gemara, but he still fails. But I want to look back at this idea that all the Avot were tested. This is from the Emeth Yaakov Kamenetsky. Fundamentally, what it tested, Nisayon were challenges to their inherent nature. Avram is tested in chesed. Can he overcome his own chesed, the sign of the Akedah, and obey Hashem? That's a test. Okay? That's what it says. Amnon Yira, the truth is, El Yaakov, spelled it wrong. So, Kamosho ino is the Abraham Avinu. Let's wait, so by Abraham. So, who's Rach Hashem Yitbarach, and also to Esther Yusnistri. Note that Abraham had these 10 tests. Ad she'alav nitalel, madriga to Abraham Amat, till he can achieve this high level. As Gemara says, well, we say Elokei Avraham. Okay, it's Yaakov, Hayatzerich La'avor Nisayon. Yaakov also needs this test. Daily of Chonet, Godel Madrigato, Devigato. Shabbat Karsh Bar Nasad and Avraham, when Hashem tests Avraham, Kuchrok Nasatoba open, Shemira, Ki'iluhu, Benigud, Yashir, Ubekibun, Afuk, Midata Chesed. Avraham's test was the opposite of Chesed. Could he be a not Chesed? That's what the Akedah was. It wasn't a test. People always say that. It wasn't a test for Yitzchak, who's dedicated to Avoda. So allowing himself to be offered was not a nisayon. It was not a test. That was consistent with his personality.
Both communicating with each other.
And Yaakov's nisayon would have to be in the area of emet, of truth, in this way of looking at what Yaakov's midah was. Right. Rav Kamenetsky says, no, that this incident here, where he's lying to his father, that was a nisayon. I would disagree with. I hate to disagree with Rabbi Hamaski. I would say this is not a test for Yaakov. This is an incident where he failed. There was no command to do this. He wasn't demonstrating his loyalty to Hashem by deceiving his father. That Nisayon would have to come, would be coming later. I would argue that this incident was a test for Yitzchak. That this is Yitzchak is din. in this way, a sort of literary way of looking at the avot, of gevura, of the absolute distinction. There's right and there's wrong. And that there's only two possibilities. Yaakov said about his father, right? If he doesn't bless, if he finds out, he's not going to not bless me. The beta like call love lo bracha. It's either a curse or a blessing. There's no middle ground. That's not what Yitzchak's all about. Tzchok is the ability to see distinction. Chesed is we're all one. Yitzchak is all about din, divisions. Right? When Yitzchak finds out what Yaakov didn't demand the kolah. That is what would happen. That is Yitzchak's inherent nature. That's what Yitzchak would do. But when Hashem tells the message that Rivka is right, it says, you know, even if you figure it out, Yadayim kol Yaakov, Yadayim de Esav, he suspects something. But he realizes Hashem tells him, no, you need to give the bracha to this person in front of you here. That's a nisayon for Yitzchak. That's a test. We know that Esav is not going to be the partner for Yaakov in Avraham's legacy. We see that later in Parshas Vayishlach, where Esav basically says, here, you have the bracha, I don't need it, and I'm leaving. I'm leaving Canaan. I don't want any part of this. I'm going to go move in with my father-in-law in Seir. We'll see that. And that I think that Hashem would have preferred that Yaakov get this bracha in some more honest way. But we have free will. This is what happened. Fine. But Yitzchak now has to make the test of whether he will acknowledge that his judgment, his commitment to Din, his urge to, his natural inclination to now curse Yaakov once he finds out what happens. Will he do that, or will he say, no, Hashem wants me to give the bracha, I'll give him the bracha. So that's what Yitzchak says at the end, Gam Baruchia. He adds that as soon as he finds out what happened. Yes, the bracha belongs to Yaakov. And I think that's what established, he passed this Nisayon, he passed that test. That's established his relationship to Hashem, and that's why we say, okay, Yitzchak, in our davening. I'm going to see somebody had a chat come up. Bye, Davida. Good Shabbos. Can I give you a bracha? You see, Mechlim, Gesarov, Karachel, Vlaya, you have Rechon, Avish, Mecha, Erne, Ponav, Lach, Meneka, Yisat, Nai, Ponav, Lach, Yisim, Chas, Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom. We love you.
Bye, Shabbat, Shalom. I love you too. Thank you.
Okay. And that was actually recorded, but I'm going to stop the recording.